98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. Burns and Gambo starts now.
Straight up 2 o'clock on this Thursday afternoon. Good afternoon and welcome into today's edition of the Burns and Gambo Show. Here on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station, we are live from the Ok-Chin Community Studios. My name is Dave Burns, alongside the one, the only, John Gambadoro. Hi, Gambo!
Burnsy, what's going on?
Not much, my friend. How are you doing? You doing all right?
I'm good. Good. Yeah, get ready for the Suns-Clippers tonight.
Yeah, it's Suns Day
around here,
right? Cardinals
game coming up this weekend.
Yeah. You're now, in full disclosure, you're working from home right now. We were talking about this a little bit yesterday.
Yeah.
And you missed all the outrage here earlier today.
Oh. Outrage.
There was outrage. Our Eric, God bless him, our associate producer, comes into the show prep room and he goes, "You guys got to talk about this today. You have to talk about this." And we're like, "Okay, what? What do we have to talk about today?" Klay Thompson is ahead of Devin Booker on the fan voting for the All-Star break. This is an outrage.
You know what? I had a friend of mine send this to me. You know, send it to me earlier today, and it's like, wow, man. I'm like, you know, look, Chris Paul will probably get in, right? Players, coaches, and executive votes. But, like, looking at LeBron, okay, no problem. Okay, let's go to guards. Steph Curry, okay. Luka Doncic, I get it. Ja Morant, Memphis, Klay Thompson, ahead of Booker and Chris Paul.
Yeah. Yeah, Klay Thompson's the one. It's like, the dude hasn't played.
Guys, he played a game.
Dude hasn't played in 2 years. I get it. He's a popular guy. But come on, and I'm not saying this to make fun of Eric at all. He was just all fired up, man. He's like, "You got to talk about this thing. Got to talk about this thing."
No, but we're used to that here. I mean,
that's kind of what I told him. Yeah, you know,
like we're used to it.
It's just like it's.
Did people think because of all the nationally televised games, maybe that would help a little bit?
Yeah,
when
I did.
They got to the finals last year.
Yeah, I did.
It's just hard. Every year, you're like, maybe the fans got smarter. You know, you got a little bit of faith in people, and then they turn around and they vote Klay Thompson into the All-Star game. It's crazy.
I tell you, to Gambo's point, Ja Morant, my goodness, has he gotten popular. You know, if he's third on this, and he's third by a country mile over Klay Thompson and Devin Booker, if these early returns are to be believed, boy, Ja Morant has really hit a nerve when it comes to fans that he's already third in this. His team is good. You know, Memphis is good. We just saw him beat the Suns about a week and a half ago. But, wow. So
he had a big win the other day, and he went crazy. Who did they beat the other day?
They beat Brooklyn, and then they beat Cleveland. And he had incredible games back-to-back.
Yeah.
Yeah. Kid's special. He's a special player.
He's a very good player.
Great fantasy player. Team player, too.
I'm sure he is.
Do you play fantasy basketball?
Mitch, do you? I do. It's the only sport that I have left to play fantasy right now because my football team stunk this year.
Every single day back here, I would say probably a good hour of what Mitch and I are talking about is his fantasy basketball team.
I tell you right now, I hate fantasy basketball. I did it one season years ago. I'm like, what the hell has my life come to if I'm doing fantasy basketball?
Wow.
I was so out after 1 year. I'm like, yeah, no, never mind. I'm good. It is Suns Day. There's a big game tonight, and there's Suns news. Let's weigh in with our top story of the day here on the Burns and Gambo Show.
Burns and Gambo, the weigh-in. Brought to you by Revitalize Weight Loss.
We talked to James Jones about it yesterday, and he had indicated to us that Bismack Biyombo was a guy that they were looking at in the offseason, hoping in a sense to convince him to come here. It was the long way for it to happen, but it did happen. According to Adrian Wojnarowski, Bismack Biyombo has been signed by the Suns for the rest of the year. And that 10-day contract has now turned into a permanent residence for Bismack Biyombo with the Suns, Gambo.
Yeah, now I'm trying to find out what mechanism they used to pay him. You know, did they use the biannual? Did they use part of that mid-level? Is it a veteran's minimum? Because I don't think I've seen anything on what they're paying him. Because that was one of my fears yesterday is, boy, you know, I wonder if somebody else could offer him, you know, more money to come play or more playing time. But they liked him. James Jones mentioned that they targeted him, you know, they targeted him earlier, but with the death of his father, he obviously wasn't ready to play. But getting him, I think we all saw after two games all we needed to see. I've seen enough. The guy can rebound, he can run the floor, he can block shots, he's another defensive presence, he gives you another big body. I mean, I absolutely love the signing. If you would have told me 3 weeks ago the Suns are going to sign Bismack Biyombo, I probably wouldn't have thought very much of it because in his 10 years in the NBA, he really didn't do anything. But once you put him up with Chris Paul and some shooters, what we saw in those two games, I mean, I said it to some NBA people I know. I don't think I've seen him play that well his entire career.
Yeah, he talked today. Now, for the record, he wouldn't address the deal, almost making it sound like it wasn't officially done yet. But Woj is reporting that it has happened or it's going to happen, but he wasn't talking about it in the past tense. He wasn't really willing to address it. But he was willing to address how we ended up with the Phoenix Suns.
There's a lot of teams that come along the way that we actually passed on. And I think since the passing of my dad, one thing that I wanted to do is to be in an environment. And when I do decide to go into basketball, like the feeling has to be right. And obviously my faith has grown over the course of time that I was away from the game. And honestly, it's just about like finding the right situation. And I think when Phoenix conversation kind of started, it started a little way back. So we're just waiting for the right time to do so.
So to summarize that, lots of offers, lots of teams were interested. He was taking his time because of the death of his father. And I would imagine the interest, obviously the interest that the Suns had in him was mutual, because it sounds like when the Suns came knocking, that was the one. Now, I don't know what those other teams were offering in terms of years or money or who they were or how good they were. But we talked a little bit yesterday, Gambo, about players in the spot of Bismack Biyombo, in particular players who might get bought out by their teams. A lot of times they want to go somewhere where they're going to be promised things.
Playing time.
And I got to imagine for Biyombo, that probably wasn't the case here, because I don't think the Suns could have promised him a whole lot in terms of playing time when Ayton and McGee get back.
No, what James Jones promises the players is competition. If you play well enough, you'll play, and if you don't, you won't. I mean, that's the promise that he makes the guys. You know, play well, practice hard, play well, you'll get to play. If you don't, you won't. I mean, it's just what he promises guys is you'll have a chance to compete for playing time. I mean, that's all he promises these guys. But it's interesting to me, and I do find this, let all the aging veteran stars go hook up with Kevin Durant and Kyrie and James Harden and LeBron, and let the Suns continue to get guys like Bismack Biyombo and JaVale McGee, you know, or an Elfrid Payton who's a third point guard and has got tons of stars. Let the Suns continue to get those type of players, and let the veteran aging stars with very little left go hook up with the Nets and the Lakers. I'm fine with that, because I think the Suns are building a better roster.
Yeah. He was asked today about being a part of the Suns, and he's glad he can be a part of it.
When you see guys hunting like that for something that they really want to accomplish, you know, you really have no choice but to kind of blend in. You know, I think I say this when I had my first interview here, that you know, when there's a fire and they want to hide gasoline in it, it's not to turn off the gasoline, you know. I mean, the fire is not to turn off the fire, but to light up the fire even more. So I'm just glad that we can hide that fire and then keep growing the fire and see what we're going to be by the time, you know, the playoff stuff.
Now, of course, tonight...
Sounds like a Gambo analogy.
Yeah, the fire and the gas and the... Yeah, I was...
I mean, I just... Yeah. I don't really get it, but, you know... You know, if you got the fire and then you get the gas and then you get a match and you got the gas with the fire and a match, like, you can ignite a fire.
Are you ironing out all your chickens before they hatch? Is that what you're doing?
You iron out all your eggs before and then you iron them out. Yeah, like, I'm cool with people that can't put analogies together well, because that's right up my alley.
You and botch euphemisms. What was that? Play that one again for me again?
He was like a bat out of lightning.
A bat out of lightning. Yeah.
You've never seen that before? Next time you see lightning, you see a bat coming out of the lightning.
Yeah, botched euphemisms, you're the best at it. Yeah, go ahead. What you got?
Here's something I want to bring up. Okay, here's guys that are backups on the Suns. You ready? JaVale McGee, 33 years old. Frank Kaminsky, 28 years old. Biyombo, 29. Elfrid Payton, 27. Abdel Nader, 28. Cameron Payne, 27. Dario, who's on the bench, you know, but he's out, 27. Landry Shamet's the young guy at 24. What James has built, it continues to be a team that defies logic, because most teams spend so much money top-heavy, and then they fill in the roster with undrafted free agents and second-round picks that don't cost any money. That's not the Suns' roster. The Suns' roster is filled with guys that are veteran guys that can play the game, have experience starting, and have a lot of game action, instead of guys that don't have any experience and you're sitting at the end of the bench because you're cheap.
Yeah. Let's talk about this Clippers game real quick tonight because it's coming up at 8 o'clock as the Suns return home after a road trip in which they went 2-1. The Clippers are missing all sorts of guys. Paul George is out with an elbow. Kawhi Leonard is out, of course, with the knee. Luke Kennard. Zubac is out. Nicholas Batum is out. The Suns come in. Of course, we know Ayton and Jay Crowder and JaVale McGee have been activated off the COVID list, but they won't play tonight because their conditioning isn't where it needs to be. So a couple of shorthanded teams, but the Clippers are really shorthanded going into this one.
Yeah, and they just got their head coach back too, Tyronn Lue, just like the Suns did with Monty. Tyronn Lue was in health and safety protocols, and I think their assistant coaches are some of their assistant coaches are still out, I believe. But yeah, Tyronn Lue went into health and safety on December 31st while they were in Toronto. He left Canada by a car, quarantined in New York, and then he got back to Los Angeles. But we will see our old friend Eric Bledsoe tonight.
Yes,
Eric Bledsoe, the former point guard and the hair salon and, right at the forefront of, what defined that Suns era of basketball is Eric Bledsoe. And, I don't want to be here in the hair salon and
sure,
being told not to play. I mean, that is at the forefront of the memories we have of, and there's a lot more, right? I mean, there's Goran Dragic wanting out, and there's the three-point guards, and there's Markieff Morris, and there's there's just so many, but the Bledsoe thing is right there at the forefront. He'll be in action tonight against the Suns.
Yeah, then Reggie Jackson, we remember him from the Western Conference Finals as well.
Oh,
he had
so
a couple
good.
Of yeah, he had real good moments in that series. He, of course, is kind of the leader right now with everybody else being out. One other last note from the Suns before we take it to a break, and this is a tweet from our very own Dan Bickley, who sent this out right at the top of our show. He tweeted out, "Hearing the NBA investigation of Robert Sarver's Suns will be finished by the All-Star break in late February." That would put it at about a month and a half, a little more than a month and a half from right now. So Bickley just tweeted that out. Of course, that's kind of been on the back burner with how well the team has been playing and COVID and everything else. But just a reminder, that investigation is still going on, and Dan Bickley tweeted out today that he's hearing that investigation
All right.
will be finished by the All-Star break. When we come back, Vance Joseph, he has to scheme a lot of defenses against Russell Wilson. He's had to in his time here in Arizona. Is it going to be any different this time around, given this might be Wilson's last game as a member of the Seahawks? Plus, some news about that you're going to want to hear next on the Burns and Gambo Show.
98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. Burns and Gambo, afternoons.
Before we get into what Vance Joseph, Cardinals defensive coordinator, had to say about Russell Wilson, I want to get into what Russell Wilson had to say about Russell Wilson just about 10 minutes ago. So much speculation about whether he's going to be back with the Seahawks next year. Today, he was very, very definitive about what his plan was, and I want to play this, Gambo, to kickstart our conversation about how the Cardinals are going to defend him. Russell Wilson today, "My plan is to win Super Bowls. My plan is to win them here."
For me, I think what I'm really super passionate about, obviously, my goal is to win more Super Bowls. And my plan is to win them here. It's that simple. I think that's there's nothing really else other than that.
Now, that's pretty damn definitive.
Okay. Yeah, I would end the speculation right there then. Play it one more time.
Yeah, I'd be happy to.
For me, I think what I'm really super passionate about, obviously, my goal is to win more Super Bowls, and my plan is to win them here. It's that simple. I think that's there's nothing really else other than that.
Plan is to win them here.
Yeah.
My goal was to win them here. My plan going forward is to win them here.
Is present tense? Yes. Is not was. Is. Yeah. Yeah, I understand things can change, but and he was kind of being a little vague with his wording on Sunday. There was nothing vague about that to me. That was very much I'm going to be here. I want to win here. This is where I want to be. He's got 2 years left on his deal. He's got a no-trade clause, and he even said that's why I insisted on a no-trade clause in my deal was to keep them from sending me somewhere I didn't want to go. That does not sound to me like a guy who doesn't want to be a member of the Seattle Seahawks, which was what was thought to be driving this engine all along, was that he wouldn't want to be there. That didn't sound like a guy who doesn't want to be in Seattle.
No, they don't have their first-round draft pick this year, but there are other draft picks, and You know, there's salary cap manipulations and, you know, things that you could do to, you know, to create some cap space to sign players. But if, listen, if I'm Seattle and he wants to be there, that changes everything to me. If he doesn't want to be there, then it makes it easy to trade him. Look, he doesn't want to be here. You know, what do you want us to do? Because you could get a boatload for him. If they trade him now, and they can't because he could just say no. So he could just say, no, I have a no trade clause. They would have to go to him and say, look, you know, we don't, you know, we want to trade you. We want to see if you want to go somewhere else. And I don't think they're going to do that. So I think the speculation may be over.
All right, let's talk about the Cardinals and how they're going to defend Russell Wilson. And by the way, we've got the Athletic writer Michael Sean Dugard joining us later in the show. We had him on the last time the Cards played Seattle. He was really, really good. Looking forward to get his perspective on this because he really was a strong advocate for Seattle keeping Russell Wilson. Here's Vance Joseph on whatever differences he might see when he had to defend Seattle the first time they played him versus how they're going to have to defend them now.
Schematically, not much different, Kevin. Obviously, last week, you know, to rush for 100 and I think 50 plus yards, that's obviously what's their game plan, and it worked for them. I think the back, Rashad Penny, is a former first round pick that they've been waiting for to, you know, to play this way, and he played well last week, and Russell obviously made some plays in the pass game. I thought DK Metcalf was a big part of their offense as far as just getting the ball to him with more screens and more completion plays and not just taking shots with him. So I think the difference, you know, to me, they made an effort to run the football and ran it well. And they also got the ball into their playmakers' hands, which is 16 and 14 Metcalf quickly, you know, to make plays on the field.
Well, and I know they beat him. It also helped that the Seahawks played the Lions, and that did not hurt Seattle's efforts offensively. But Rashad Penny, you know, Vance mentioned it. Boy, he ran the ball so well in that game against Detroit. Has ran the ball really well for the last four games.
Yeah, there's no question, and that's you know Vance even talked about that. You know, some games you do go in with the plan to stop the run, and others you don't. And you know, last week we obviously wanted to stop the run. And you know, last time these two teams played each other, it was just, you know, it wasn't that long ago either. I mean, it was just a few weeks ago. It was the 11th game for the Arizona Cardinals, but there was no Kyler Murray, there was no D-Hop, there was no Chase, there was no Justin Pugh in that game. You know, and Seattle obviously was different with their running game. So I think that, you know, it's a different Cardinals team than they played Seattle. I think it's a little bit of a different Seattle team. You know, Russ, you know, back from the injury now has had more time to heal and get ready. You know, for the end of the season, Seattle's not going anywhere, but a lot of people think that they're still playing for pride and still playing to, you know, win football games. So we'll see, but I like Arizona's chances to win this football game and give themselves a chance to win the NFC West.
Yeah, Vance Joseph, a lot of great things, as we would expect from him, to say about Russell Wilson and the career he's had in Seattle.
No, he's not much different. I mean, he's still making plays with his legs, Darren. He can make every single throw. He's very, very smart at the LOS, you know, putting his team in the best place. I haven't seen any difference as far as what Russell's done over the years. You know, obviously, you know, guys get a little older and, you know, some things change as far as their physical abilities, but I have not seen that with Russell. He's still the same guy that can make a play with his legs. He can make every single throw. I mean, he hides the ball well in play action pass. I mean, last week's game, you know, with the boot game, it was really awesome to watch him carry his fakes out and to put that boot game to work, man. That made the run game go, you know, so he is still a great player and obviously a Hall of Fame quarterback.
Look, you and I have seen enough of Russell Wilson over the years to know he is one of the most dangerous quarterbacks the Cardinals will face in a year-in, year-out basis. We all know that. I think the question here is one of motivation. I think the question, not the Cardinals, but Seattle, what's their motivation? What are they playing for? Are they, you know, is the bus gassed up and ready to go so that as soon as the game is over, they can get on a plane somewhere and start their vacation?
Oh, no.
Are they extremely motivated to beat the Cardinals? That, to me, is the biggest unanswerable question about this whole game.
Yeah, you know, it might be different, right? Not everybody may be on the same page. Not every single player might be going into this game like, we have to win this game.
Yeah, it's a good
point. Not everyone may be like, I can't wait to go on vacation tomorrow. I just booked Turks and Caicos, and I can't wait to go, and I got a banana boat, and it's going to be so much fun, and we're going to go fishing, and we're going to be best friends.
We're going to swim with the dolphins, and we're going to get all that stuff, right?
Yeah, I mean, all of that stuff. So, yeah, you just don't know. Like, some players may be different. Some players maybe go in, they really want to. And, you know, sometimes for a lot of the younger players, it's like, and this is what may work for the Cardinals, too. A lot of the younger players, they want to make an impression. They want to make a play. You might go for that interception because it's going to look good, you know, for your chances next year to get a job with somebody. So, you know, sometimes guys go in that last game, guys go outside of the team concept to try to make some individual plays.
Yeah. More Vance Joseph talking about Russell Wilson and whether and beyond Russell Wilson, his rush defense the last few weeks, it's been a lot better. And he was asked why.
I thought it's improved a lot. You know, obviously, guys, you know, the numbers as far as the rush defense, that's been a topic of conversation, you know, the entire year. You know, but it's been a lot of games where we've been up, you know, and bled some rushing yards late in games, you know, up by two or three scores. So, again, you know, the rushing numbers and the rushing conversation doesn't move me that much, guys. You know, I'm more worried about keeping the points to a minimum. You know, so sometimes the plan is to stop the run. Sometimes it's not. Obviously, Sunday it was, you know, and we got it done. The coach game it was, you know, after the first play, you know, we got it done. So, you know, every game is a different plan, you know, so we'll see how it works on Sunday, and then we'll move on in the playoffs.
Rashad Penny, boy, he's been good. We mentioned the numbers, 481 yards rushing and 5 touchdowns in his last 4 games. He had 144 by halftime against the Detroit Lions. Now, again, it's the Lions, but again, the Lions handed the Cardinals their lunch a couple of weeks ago, so take it for what it's worth. If stopping the run is the number one goal, boy, Rashad Penny is having a renaissance moment right now for him with the Seahawks this last month or so.
Yeah, you know, their running game, they came in and they wanted to run a little bit more, run the ball more with their new offensive coordinator, Shane Waldron. Carroll said, I think yesterday or today, that he's done a great job. I mean, Seattle scored 30 or more points in 3 of their past 5 games. And they've rushed for 146 or more in 4 of the last 5. So in 4 of the last 5 games, they've averaged, you know, they've rushed for at least 146 yards. It's what they want to do. It's why Brian Schottenheimer got fired last year, because they just weren't running the ball the way that Pete Carroll wants them to run the ball to take some of the pressure off of Russell Wilson. So I imagine they go into the game, you know, with that same philosophy, try to run the ball, try to keep Kyler off the field. The one knock on Seattle is just how bad they are on third down.
Yeah.
So that's been the one thing. They just haven't been able to extend a lot of drives because they're a really bad team on third down.
As always during the show, you can text us your thoughts on anything we're talking about during the show. The FanDuel text line is always open for you. You can text us at 620-620 right now. The Arizona Cardinals have to win if they want a shot at the NFC West title. How good are their odds given what the Rams are going to face with the 49ers? We'll talk about that next on the Burns and Gambo Show.
The Burns and Gambo Need to Know Twitter poll presented by Sanderson Ford.
And we turn it over to Mitch to get the rollout of today's Twitter poll question of the day on the Burns and Gambo Twitter page. Hello, Mitch. What do you have for us?
Burnsy, I'm doing well. Gambo, how are you, sir?
What's up?
We're doing good, doing good. We've got a good poll question today. I think you're going to like it. So okay. Here we go. Do you want the Cardinals to open the playoffs on the road? Yes or no?
Really? Well,
let me explain.
Let Burnsy explain.
Let me explain. On the surface, it seems like a dumb question. Maybe even a little deeper, it seems like a dumb question. But given their road success, and given how we had our poll question the other day on Monday about what's kind of your preferred or what's your most feared opponent, I was genuinely curious to know how many people wanted the Cardinals to open up the playoffs on the road. Might be the wrong opinion,
okay,
but I was genuinely curious to hear how many Cardinal fans wanted them to open the playoffs away from home, given that they haven't won a home game since before Halloween, and on the road they've been the best team in the NFL. Make sense?
I mean, okay, I'll buy it. I mean, I'll buy it. I get it. They've been really good on the road and not so good at home.
Okay.
I still prefer that they play the home game.
I still prefer that. I do too. I was more curious to see what the percentage was of people who said they'd rather them go on the road because they just haven't been very good at home this year.
Yeah, okay, I get it. I think a decent amount of people will be like, I'd rather go on the road. They're better on the road.
Okay. Mitch, what you got?
I think we've got a pretty fair sample size to start off. So 357 votes so far. The leader is no, to be clear. But only 53.8% say no. 46.2% say they would rather start on the road.
So it's almost 50-50.
Almost. Separation of about, what is that, 7%?
Yeah. Not too wide of a gap. It's early. But we'll see. I know. It's I Gambo, trust me, if you were here when we were in the show meeting after we got done talking to you, I said, all right, this is a dumb question, but I think it's our poll question today. I know it's dumb. It's a dumb question, but I feel like today's the day we should ask this. In large part because on Sunday, and the poll question you can find on the Burns and Gambo Twitter page, at Burns and Gambo. On Sunday, while the Arizona Cardinals are playing the Seahawks, the Rams are going to be playing the 49ers. And the outcome of those two games will determine whether the Cardinals are at home or on the road to open the playoffs. It's that simple.
Right.
And we both saw it today on the Athletic website. They had all of their, you know, NFL experts, quote unquote, make their picks for this upcoming weekend's games, and they all picked the Cardinals to beat the Seahawks, or to beat the Seahawks, I should say. A shockingly, to me anyway, high number of them picked the Rams to beat the 49ers. All but one, if I remember correctly, picked the Rams to beat the 49ers.
Well, if you want the Cardinals to start out on the road, you don't really care about this 49er-Ram game. You know, for a lot of us, you want to root for the 49ers because you want the Cardinals to win the division. If they win the division, they play a home game. They don't play a road game. So if you're one of those people out of voting, I want the Cardinals to play on the road, then you know you probably want the Rams to win this football game against the 49ers.
Or like you say, you just don't care.
I mean, you don't care. It doesn't matter.
I mean, you don't. If that's what you want. I mean, I guess if you really care and you really want them to open on the road, then you are really rooting for the LA Rams in this one.
The 49er game is fascinating because there's just one real complicated question. Who's going to start a quarterback?
Yes.
I mean, Trey Lance had his second career start last week, Sunday, threw two touchdown passes. They beat the Houston Texans. And you know, he's a dynamic player who could really beat you with his legs. Garoppolo, he's got a thumb injury. He injured it in that loss to Tennessee a couple of weeks ago, and he hasn't been able to throw the football. So, is the time off good enough? Is Garoppolo going to go out there with the damage to his thumb and play? Look, the last time these two teams played each other, the 49ers beat the hell out of the Rams. They beat the hell out of them.
Yep.
So, like, the 49ers, and you've mentioned it a couple times this week, the 49ers have just, in the past, the 49ers have had the Rams' number.
Yeah. It's been five straight wins by the 49ers over Los Angeles, and it's been the last one in particular was dominant. They ran the ball 44 times. They just shoved it right down their throat, and the Rams couldn't do anything to deal with it. There was a lot of conversation about this game today on Good Morning Football, and there was a lot of there was a lot of angst against the LA Rams. Kyle Brandt today basically telling the 49ers, hey, look, Matthew Stafford's going to throw it to you. You just have to catch it.
Matthew Stafford's going to throw you one when he does catch it and run it for a touchdown. This is not a new thing. This has happened four times this year. Four times for a veteran quarterback. And I guess I have to do it every week, and I just keep kicking Matt Stafford in the shins. I don't take pleasure in it. But he keeps doing this, including when he played the 49ers. They picked him twice. This is not a new thing. Four times this year, just for sake of comparison, Aaron Rodgers has thrown 3 in 16 years, but we don't need to get in Rodgers. We talked about him last segment. He's thrown 4 this segment. He will do it, and then he makes the jokes after this game about, oh, man, I made it really easy on them, which I appreciate, but I would appreciate it more if he didn't. He will throw you one. Don't drop it. Catch it and return it for a touchdown, and you win the game. It's simple. He does it almost every week.
Wow.
Look, that was pretty hardcore.
I mean, he's in that category of, you know, okay quarterbacks. I don't think Matthew Stafford is a great quarterback. I mean, there's a lot of doubts about him and his abilities. Look, the guy's 33 years old. He's been in this league forever. He's never won a playoff game. And these interceptions returned for touchdowns, mind-boggling. The amount is just crazy, and the interceptions are just so high. And you know, you got to worry. You got to question, right? The talent's there, right? The arm strength.
Oh, yeah.
And that's all there. But you got to question just the football IQ to throw that many pick sixes.
Now, on the other side of the equation, from the 49ers perspective, you mentioned Jimmy Garoppolo working his way back from the thumb. I think that's a big hinge point in this game. Can he play? Can he not? If Trey Lance goes, that really diminishes San Francisco's, I think, their ability to win this football game. I just don't know if he's going to get it done against that Rams defense.
That Elijah Mitchell's back, and he's good.
Yeah,
he's good.
He's really good. It's the 49ers defense right now that they also pointed out on Good Morning Football, and I was not aware of this until Peter Schrager started talking about it. They've got five of their defensive backs on the COVID-19 list right now.
No matter who's on the field, no matter who's throwing the ball, the 49ers absolutely own the Rams.
They've
won five straight games against division rivals. It's not like this has been some basement team. The Rams have won two divisions, and yet they lose every time to the 49ers. And yet they were given a bit of a gift from the health gods, if you will, in that all the defensive backs from the Niners are out this week. They can't practice. They're all out with COVID on the protocol. And that is like, hello. Like, so they're working on Zoom this week. Now, they might all be activated for Sunday and be great. But I don't care. If you don't practice all week and it's not just one of you, it's the entire defensive backfield. Stafford, you better have a day. Uh-huh. At the very least, these guys are going to be winded and they won't have the reps. So, Stafford, if you can't get a win over a defensive backfield that has been out with five defensive backs all week, I don't know if you're ever going to get a win over this team. That's what it comes down to. They have to win this one.
Jimmy Ward, Ambry Thomas, Dante Johnson, Kawan Williams, and Demetri Lenore are all on the COVID list for the 49ers. Yeah.
I think I read in the San Francisco Chronicle that they've got only one cornerback on the 53-man roster that have left after they put those guys on.
That's crazy. So you start to tell this whole story, and now I'm starting to understand a little bit why every writer at The Athletic thought the Rams were going to beat the 49ers, because the 49ers are, between the situation at quarterback and what's going on with their secondary, the Rams do seem, despite the five-game losing streak to San Francisco, it does seem like L.A.'s in a real good spot against San Francisco this weekend. But
they added Darqueze Dennard to the practice squad, so he might play for them and give them a little bit of depth.
Okay. Well, and like Schrager said, they might get some of those guys back. It's just the question of what their level of health is when they do get back. Go ahead. What were we going to say?
Added Dennard. Played 8 years. He's got some experience, so he might help them the way Breshad Breeland could help the Cardinals.
Yes. Yeah, that's true. It's the last week of the NFL season, which means you have one last chance to sign up for Bix Picks. Text the word pick to 620-620. Sign up. Compete against Dan Bickley. It's your chance at the grand prize of a tailgate package featuring a Yeti, Tundra cooler, and grill, courtesy of Modelo Especial, and a $500 gift card to Cold Beers and Cheeseburgers as well. Text the word pick to 620-620 to enter. Took a bit longer than we expected, but today it happened. Antonio Brown has been released from the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and the he said that preceded that cut was remarkable. You'll hear it next on the Burns and Gambo Show.
98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. Burns and Gambo, afternoons.
It is official. I just actually saw the official thing come across the wire a moment ago. Antonio Brown has been released by the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And we'll look back in a minute, Gambo. Let's look forward first. Now begins the real curious experiment to see if anybody will go out and try to sign him for the playoffs. And I know you sent me a story today suggesting that there might be three teams that could be potentially interested in bringing Antonio Brown. Shockingly, one of them was the Arizona Cardinals, which don't think will happen any day that ends in Y. It was interesting the Cardinals were mentioned, but I don't think that's going to happen, man.
Look, I think you could discuss it. And I think it's prudent, right? If you're a general manager, all right, you bring it up with your staff. Okay, this sounds crazy. Ready? But let's have this discussion for 30 seconds. Antonio Brown, everybody shoot, go. And most people will say, there's no way, it's not worth it. The guy's a clubhouse cancer. He's got mental issues. He needs help. Tampa tried it with Tom Brady and it didn't work. Like, maybe somebody says, look, the guy's an extreme talent. You're not... You know, if I was going to make the argument for Antonio Brown, my argument would be this is 4 weeks. It's 4 weeks. I mean, it's boom or bust, but he's a really talented football player and he might be on his best behavior. And, if he can help you four or five catches a game, you know, you're not going to have him for a long time. You're basically saying, can you get 4 weeks out of this guy? How much damage can he do in 4 weeks compared to 22 weeks?
That would be the main argument, wouldn't it? That would be the main.
Yeah.
Say, okay, yes, he's a pain. Yeah, he's troubled. Yeah, he's gonna make a lot of people mad. This is not going to be a long-term arrangement. This is going to be a very, very, very short-term arrangement. How much damage can he do in the 3 or 4 weeks that he's going to be here? But that's it. That's like the only argument for him, because it's the answer to that question is he could do some damage in 3 to 4 weeks, right?
So let me just say this and get this out, because there have been people that ask, there is zero chance that the Arizona Cardinals would sign Antonio Brown. And I know they were listed as one of the three teams that would be a good fit for him. Zero. Like, zero. There's not even a 0.0000.1 chance that the Cardinals would sign Antonio Brown.
I don't think any team's going to sign him. I'm pretty sure
I don't think any team's going to sign him either. But I can't speak for all the other teams. I can only tell you that there's not a snowball's chance in hell. There's a better chance right now that me and Burns, you can have a snowball fight tonight than there is of Antonio Brown playing for the Cardinals.
You get snow over at your house?
There's a better chance that me and you are going to build a snowman.
That'd be fun. I'd come over to your house and build a snowman tonight after the show. Yeah.
Do you want to build a snowman?
If you've got snow, let's get it done. Absolutely. Yeah. It was a Pro Football Focus story that you sent along. And they reached out to a variety of league sources to get their thoughts on potential landing spots. One league source, quote, hell no. Another league source suggested Dallas or Kansas City. They only suggested the Cardinals because of the Hop injury. But I'm very glad to hear you say what you just said a second ago. That's common sense, right? I mean, I never thought for a second the Cardinals would be listed, should be listed, could be a possibility. I'm very glad to hear you say it, because I don't want him here, no matter how short a time he might be here for. I just don't want to deal with anything that comes with that. Because now,
What could he do? What's the negative that he could do in a short time period? I mean, what could he? I mean, you just don't know with this guy. I mean, he's just all the attention turns to him, and it turns away from the team. Could he take their focus off of what they're trying to do? I mean, could he be a distraction? I mean,
sure.
I'm not sure.
I think the answer to all those questions are yes. I mean, because you asked them, could he? Yes, he could. He could piss off the guys in the wide receiver room who thought that they were doing just fine without DeAndre Hopkins. He gives Kyler Murray a bunch of questions that now Murray has to answer twice a week that he didn't have to deal with before. It forces Cliff Kingsbury into, okay, we got him. He's not going to be happy unless we give him his touches. I got to figure out a way to get him his touches so he doesn't act like a pissed off little guy all week long, right? I mean, yeah, it's problematic. It's easy to say he wouldn't cause any problems because he's not going to be here very long. There is a potential for him to cause a lot of problems, even if he's only going to be here for 4 weeks.
Yeah, possibly.
Just not worth it.
No, and like I said, there's zero chance that, you know, for anybody reading the stories at the Cardinals, there's zero. Like, there's no chance. There's no chance.
All right, so now, Eric, jump in. So,
in the statement that Adam Schefter tweeted earlier yesterday, AB said that he's getting surgery. He will not be playing this season, and that he's looking forward to next season. So it's not a playoff thing for Antonio Brown. He wants to play football next year.
Okay.
That's why he left the Bucs.
I didn't realize he had said that in the statement, so I'm glad you pointed that out. As far as the why, we saw Antonio Brown's statement today. He claims that he was hurt. Everybody knew he was hurt. And that when he refused to go in because he was hurt, that Bruce Arians looked at him and says, that's it, you're out of here, get out of here. And he made the throat-slashing gesture to Antonio Brown. BA's side of the story, which he told today, was that at no point did Antonio Brown follow the proper protocol on game day to let anybody know, a trainer, a coach, a doctor, anybody, that he was hurt that day and needed to be limited. And that basically that Bruce told him to get out because he thought that Antonio Brown wouldn't go back into the game because he wasn't getting enough touches and he wasn't getting enough looks. And that's kind of the he said upon which this whole thing is resting right now, Gambo.
Yeah, I don't know, right? I mean, I did read a few times that if for some reason Antonio Brown is right, then the Bucs could be in some trouble. The Bucs could be in some, if they ignored an injury. But the Bucs are saying he didn't give us any indication that he was injured. He didn't say he complained about his touches. Why aren't you playing? Well, I'm not getting the ball. Okay, then get out of here. So you got a he said, she said. I'm sure the NFL Players Association is going to look into this to see what happened because, you know, is there a chance Antonio Brown is right? Yeah, I guess so, maybe. You know, maybe I would tend to believe the Bucks, you know, the Bucks said, hey, you know, go get in the game, and he decided that he didn't want to play because that seems to be more of his MO as to who he is.
Yeah, here's the quote. Quote, I took a seat on the sideline, and my coach came up to me very upset and shouted, what's wrong with you? What's wrong with you? I told him it's my ankle. But he knew that. It was well documented, and we had discussed it. He then ordered me to get on the field. I said, Coach, I can't. He didn't call for medical attention. Instead, he shouted at me, you're done, while he ran his finger across his throat. Coach was telling me that if I didn't play hurt, then I was done with the Bucks. The story from Bruce Arians that I mentioned, he said at no point during that game did he ever ask the trainer or doctor about his ankle. That's the normal protocol. I was never notified of it. Obviously, that was a disturbing thing. We were looking for him to go back into the game. We called for the personnel group that he had played in the entire game. He refused to go in the game. That's when I looked back and saw him basically wave off the coach. Arians said, Brown said, quote, I ain't playing. Arians said, what's going on? He said, Brown said, I ain't getting the ball. Arians said, quote, that's when I said, you're done. Get the bleep out of here, close quote. So it's, you know, and you're right. If there's some documentation that supports even in the slightest bit Antonio Brown's story, the Bucks could be in a little bit of trouble here for that because that's a no-no, right? That's
right.
A guy with a known injury. Hey, get in there and play or we're going to cut your ass. You know, you can't do that in the NFL. So if there's any kind of documentation of that, that's something that's worth watching in this story. I don't know.
Sure, yeah. So he's not playing this year, injury or not, he's not playing this year, whether somebody plays, you know, signs him next year or not. All it takes is one team. But look, I thought his career was over after the whole Raiders fiasco. You know, I did. And I thought Michael Vick's career was over after the dog incident. So you just never know because all it takes is one team to say, I want this guy, and I think he can help us win football games.
Yeah, when we come back on the Burns and Gambo show on this Thursday, the Coyotes, they're navigating COVID-19 like everybody else, but they've had the challenge of extended time off. Not a lot of games the last 3 weeks. How do the Coyotes get back up to full speed? Their general manager, Bill Armstrong, is next on the Burns and Gambo show.